On this edition of the program, we are joined by Kevin Ryan to talk about Taylor Swift. Is there really a movement amongst conservatives to take down Tay-Tay? That and so much more. It's all coming up.
This is made possible by Bow Them Bones, Daily Tech News Show, V, and Craig.
Welcome, everybody, to the Politics, Politics, Politics program for February 2nd, 2024. Your old pal, Justin Robert Young, joining you from Austin, Texas. Oh, man. You know, sometimes there's a story so strange that we got to bring in Kevin Ryan. There's no one else that we can bring in. It's only Kevin Ryan. And thus it is with Taylor Swift. So let's go ahead and get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Kevin Ryan.
It's good to be here in the cosmos, bro.
We had a back and forth yesterday on text about the conversation surrounding Taylor Swift and specifically the Super Bowl, which for whatever reason has shaken up the pop culture and politics snow globe and left this conversation of whether or not conservatives are attacking Taylor Swift or are conservatives attacking Taylor Swift? Where is this in your mind?
Yeah, it's pretty confusing because the attackers is kind of confused. I mean, first of all, it's phenomenal. It's a phenomenal coincidence that like Lady America.
Yeah.
Woman of the year by every metric.
Yeah.
Winds up with the boyfriend in the Super Bowl. And to me, it's like, hey, isn't this like a great American story?
Yeah.
But the other part of the American story is we can't let any American story go without some sort of like political injection.
A political angle. Yeah. No, this is really the four quadrant marriage, right? There's been a lot of conversation about Taylor Swift being this uniting factor of very, very young girls. You know, my little niece is five, has three Taylor Swift songs memorized, loves Taylor Swift. She barely knows how to speak. She loves Taylor Swift, right? And I know women in their 40s and 50s adore Taylor Swift. They've been Taylor Swift fans for decades now, or I guess a decade and change, however long Taylor Swift has been a thing. And then meanwhile, football, the canonical father and son uniting point, the thing that brings men young and old together. And now together, now one supernova in a world without a monoculture, a monocultural moment, possibly our last one, possibly the final monocultural moment in American history. We don't know.
Yeah, it's incredible. What you said about your niece especially is touching to me because like the thing that I'm frustrated about with conservatives here is like I have two daughters and I have a wife.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, my daughters are a little young, but Taylor Swift is somebody I would love for them to look up to. I mean, like,
yeah.
And like my wife as well, you know, and it's like, I don't want them looking to Meg the Stallion or Nicki Minaj, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's confusing. Cause like, I think, there's some hostility towards Swift here for being, you know, kind of liberal. I mean, you know, she's open.
Yeah. She's you know, I think part of what makes her popular with the crowd for which she's popular is that in a world where we have seen women tilt further to the left, she has tilted further to the left. Now, that being said, she has not been as far to as democratically aligned as, let's say, a Katy Perry or a Lady Gaga or even a Beyonce. You know, they have all out and out campaigned and done events for Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden throughout the years. Taylor Swift has held that at an arm's length. Trump, like many women, activated Taylor Swift politically. And she endorsed Joe Biden in 2020. But she's actually done a pretty good job of keeping the politics at bay. In fact, the big criticism that Taylor Swift dealt with was that she wasn't political. That was a knock for her.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was heckled for years for not choosing a side. And then she just sort of, have you seen the Miss Americana documentary?
I've not seen the documentary, but I have seen the fantastic. Clip. I have seen the clip of her discussing, I guess there was something local to Tennessee where I guess she is a resident that she was looking to endorse. Yeah. Was it Marsha Blackburn?
The Democratic candidate across or facing her.
So yeah, that was, I saw that and her dad is like, Bob Hope never endorsed anybody, which was an amazing view into the Taylor Swift milieu of understanding that machine that kind of runs behind her and concurrent with her fame.
Yeah, but this is on the home front. And also back in the presidential election, I was in such a horrendous place that I wasn't going to pop my head out of the sand for anything.
Why would you? I mean, does Bob Hope do it? Does Crosby do it? Does Mick Jagger do it?
Come on.
No, what I'm saying right now is
Bob Hope and Dave Crosby.
These aren't your dad's celebrities, and these aren't your dad's Republicans.
Well, imagine if we came to you and said, hey, we've got this idea that we could halve the number of people that come to you next to it.
And the other thing, just from a security standpoint, you think Taylor Swift comes out against Trump.
I don't care if they write that.
So there's also something that you touched on is like this. Did you read the thing from the New York Post last year at some point about like single woke female, the SWF, like a play on single white female?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just this like demographic change where it's like for the first time in American history, there's the 18 to 35 is the majority is single. They're not married and most of them don't have children. So I think, Taylor Swift is pretty emblematic of that, and especially the politics that align with that demographic. You know, when you have kids, you become more conservative. When you get married, you become a little bit more conservative.
Yeah.
So it's like I talk to like five of my, you know, industry friends and music friends and stuff like that last night after you and I had been.
Yeah.
And I love how it happens because we're like, oh, this is a show, dude.
Exactly.
Like, let's stop texting. Stop right here.
Let's and then go. Let's just let's save it for the audience. The people need it. That's
right. So my music industry buddy was like pretty, pretty not cynical, but he was like, it was a nuanced take, but he said, you know, Taylor Swift is an industry. She's not an artist. She loves to be seen as an artist. She loves, and sort of like Lady Gaga does, where it's like she looks like an artist, but there's no art there, really. Not like Jackson Pollock level.
Yeah.
He said that she likes to be seen as this like creative force, which I think she is.
She is, yeah. But
it's like from a business perspective. And I talked to Walter Kern as well, and he was telling me a Taylor Swift story about one of the Rolling Stone issues where she was on the cover. And every time that the person on the cover gets invited to a party and the release party and all that. And he said that she was just like mesmerizing. Like when she stepped into the room, it just like everything else vanished.
Yeah.
She just took everybody's attention. And it's so interesting that she does it so sweetly and kindly. And I think that's genuine. I think she's like a good person. And I think she's really is devoted to goodness and to doing what she thinks is best. So yeah, this is all a little confusing.
Well, so let's actually get into it, because I do think that there's an element of tempest in a teapot here that I don't know if this is a real thing or if this is just a media thing, because let's understand our calendar, right? We have a very high capacity machine that needs news and was built to really, really, really focus on politics from January to mid-March. That's usually when we have primaries. It's up, it's down. Somebody's doing this, somebody's doing that. There's endorsements, there's dropouts. We're pretty much done with it. Like, there's Nikki Haley may or may not leg it out for a little bit longer, but even then, the map gets very bad for her very fast. This is likely going to be something that is... I still think that she drops out before South Carolina, but maybe she legs it out to Super Tuesday. At that point, she gets clobbered and we're done, right? But we are, there's not a lot of drama here. Meanwhile, you have the Super Bowl, which championship games happen, and then there's 2 weeks in between that and the game. So we're in the BS week. The next week, it's all going to be about matchups and who's going to win. And we look back, it's the big puff, the big feature stories about all the players, yada, yada, yada. Right now, no one knows. Who cares? And what we found ourselves to busy ourselves in this interconnection, this unholy alliance of sports and politics, is Donald Trump or conservatives are mad about Taylor Swift. But when I've looked into it, it's like a tongue-in-cheek Jesse Waters piece.
Yeah.
A Jack Posobiec tweet here and again. But
he's flipping.
Yeah, but I mean,
Benny Johnson did something too.
But these are like same. Fringe. I mean, for the mainstream, like for us, they are names. We know these names. They are people that operate in our sphere. But for the mainstream, and probably even people who listen to a fringe political podcast like this, they don't know Benny Johnson and Jack Posobiec by name. They might know Jesse Waters because he's on Fox. But even then, Jesse Waters does 50% of a comedy show. And so when there's a graphic of is Taylor Swift a Pentagon psyop, it's I'm pretty sure that he's joking about it. Now it might go viral in other spheres as serious, but I don't think anybody is seriously talking about that.
Yeah, Waters always has that like side glance going on.
He's got the wry smile. I mean, he got his start being the comedy guy on O'Reilly's show, and he has parlayed that brand going forward. I mean, like, I'll put it this way. The two things that have gone viral in my feed from Jesse Waters over the last week was that freeze frame of is Taylor Swift a psyop, and then a taped piece that he did interviewing hammered people in the tailgating parking lot of the Baltimore Ravens Chiefs game, asking serious political questions where a bunch of just drunk Baltimore fans were just saying mean things about Joe Biden, which is funny. It's funny. Like, it was a funny bit. It was a funny bit to hear like a bunch of I think the opening clip that hooked me into watching the entire video was this drunk Baltimore fan saying, are you going to vote for Joe Biden? Him saying, no, inflation is up the roof. Up the roof.
That's up the roof. Accent. You had the accent up down too.
No, hon. Inflation is up the roof. Yeah, come on. Come on. Be serious. I just don't know how much it is. Now, I do think that there is an interesting philosophical thing here, but I want to get your thought. Is this real or not? Is this actually, are conservatives really mad about Taylor Swift, or is this people just kind of getting close, wanting to get the rub of all of the hype around this right now?
Yeah, so I think you hit the nail on the head that it's like, you know, everything in the media is a partnership between the so-called enemies. Mm-hmm. And so Taylor Swift has a bizarre relationship with the media. She has for years.
Yeah.
She's constantly at their mercy. Or this is the narrative that as she tells it, especially in the documentary, like that she's always at their mercy and that they love to scapegoat her and use her as an example and,
yeah,
you know, kind of jerk with everybody's emotions in relation to her. But I think she's also like, she also knows how to operate that machinery. So I think with regard to whether or not it's true, I think the, you know, the corporate media or mainstream, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
is, sort of like looking at conservatives like, oh man, everything's like lining up in a weirdly beautifully coincidental way.
Yeah.
So let's see what they think about this. Like, let's see what the Q crowd does in response to this incredible. I mean, just like the numbers of it when you start running it are pretty impressive. But yeah, I think even like Benny, there was a lot of like passive voice and insinuation towards a conspiracy, but it's like, oh man, we got to like, let's try and simplify this because this is impossible. Well, you think like CIA or,
well, yeah, well, here's the
engineering
thing.
Engineering football players. And
here's the other thing is that the clip that got us started was you sending me a clip of Taylor Swift at a Billboard Women in Music event talking about one of the canonical moments in the Taylor Swift story, which is, I think, probably the thing that put her on the trajectory to be universally popular again, which was her catalog, which, if you're not familiar, that is the ownership of the recordings that you record. So when you sign a record contract, especially your first record contract, you are making music that is owned by the record company. That is your catalog. If you remember back in the day when Michael Jackson bought the Beatles catalog, that created a rift between him and Paul McCartney, who had been friends. Like that's what we're talking about. You own the rights to those recordings. And not only did her recordings get sold without her having a chance to buy them, which she wanted to, she was in a financial position that she could probably line up backers to get it, but it was sold to one of her arch enemies, the villainous Scooter Braun in this narrative, who managed Justin Bieber, managed probably the greatest villain in the Taylor Swift story, Kanye West, which obviously you understand that we are partisans here when it comes to that. but that was big because it made her sympathetic in a way that she really hadn't been. Even with the rift with Kanye after the famous song, that was still a battle between kind of equals. And you could look at Taylor as being maybe a little bit too self-serious, that this is not that big of a deal. This you could read it as even a sign of intimacy that Kanye wanted to refer to stuff. I mean, look, in that same album, he talks about his wife's sex tape. So this is the thing that these are things for which Kanye does to his closest
famous
people.
From a home movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think me and Ray J would be friends if we didn't blah, blah, blah. Right. But all of a sudden that's something that you can't help but look at her as the victim of. Oh
yeah.
Personal grievance, business, artist versus the man. A lot of really, really classic dynamics. Taylor then takes the opportunity to start re-recording all of her albums to devalue the worth of the original catalog. This has never been seen before in music history, especially by an artist like her. But the clip you sent me was her at a Billboard music event saying that was financed by George Soros, the boogeyman on the right, one of the biggest funders of liberal causes, not only directly into campaigns and candidates, but also to dark money and left-wing causes for which are blamed the world over. And so I think the funny thing is that clip was sent out as if to say, oh, Taylor has been bought by the Soros machine, when really this narrative is she has fought against George Soros. She should be a right-wing hero.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And that's that clip. I had to dive into that because I was like, this looks like AI.
Yeah.
It was like It was like watching Pulp Fiction and Mickey Mouse walks by. And you're like,
yeah,
what is Mickey Mouse doing next to
next to Jules? Yeah.
Yeah. It was so strange to hear Taylor Swift even use the word Soros. She's like the Soros family, and the way she said it, I was like, I've heard that phrase before, but I've never heard it from anybody who's like in her ecosystem.
No.
Like, so that was, that's what really has made my head kind of spin. But like, you're absolutely right that along with the fact that she's like as American as it gets, and she's like a great role model for women and for girls. Here she is douching on the Soros family. And that's not good enough. Like,
yeah. Well, and all right. So that brings me to kind of the larger issue, which is the soul of the conservative movement in America.
Yeah.
Because I do think that this awakens a very interesting dynamic of our post-internet age as far as looking at right-wing media. Because when I look at the Taylor Swift thing, and as much as I have, you know, been kind of forced to be aware of who Taylor Swift is dating, which everybody is mandatorily focused on.
Oh, for sure.
By and large, she has dated 90 pounds soaking wet, you know, string bean actors or LA douchebags who she dates for, you know, a year, and then they break up or they cheat on her or they're, you know, I don't know, anemic and can't get out of a chair. And at some point she writes a song, she writes an album. It's electric. Everybody loves it. She highlights all these well-worn ideas and feelings that women the world over have felt and haven't put to words. And she continues to put another brick in her empire, but she's never dated a meathead. Like an out and out bros bro, like when he first got famous, had a reality show that he had to get yelled at by his team to not do because it was unseemly of him trying to date 30 women at once. His brother is taking his shirt off and chugging beers like in 10 degree weather. This is the biggest moment for testosterone in pop culture in 20 years. And you would think that the red meat right, the traditional family right, this is a coup. If Taylor Swift settles down and has children with the alpha bro Travis Kelce, that's a massive win for that cause, at least the cause that I understood. But I think what's being distracted is the online, the 4chan, right? The idea of no, nothing is ever, there's the end of the last fight is just the beginning of the new fight. We just need to find differences and exploit them. Taylor Swift is popular. She is a Democrat. She needs to be yelled at. Travis Kelce does ads for Pfizer. He is a vaccine spokesman. He needs to be destroyed. And
Bud Light.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like there is a question of which path wither the conservative mind. Is it, are you excited that this woman who has done nothing but look for low T liberal boys now finds a red blooded alpha man? Or are you going to be mad because she doesn't vote the way you do and that her boyfriend took the Pfizer check?
Yeah, no, it's at some point, it's not table scraps anymore. It's like, dude, you're turning down fillets. Like,
well, I don't know, because I'm not part of the conservative movement. So it's like, I all I know is what I would expect. I would expect that you know, the Mike Cernoviches of the world would be like, this shows that the embers are tilting in our favor again. But instead we have this idea of, oh no, we need to destroy Taylor.
So I think in part, partly what's interesting in this response is that if the right did that, if they said, she's ours, she can vote however she wants, we believe in voting freedom, we just support her, like, we support her and who she is, and she's good for women, all the things that we've just said, I think the reaction from the left would be nasty. That's what's so confusing about this like, the dynamics of the game we're a part of.
Yeah.
Because it's like, either way, somebody's going to be pouting in the corner. But I think it is. I think it is the difference between cats and dogs with the left and right. Whereas, like, left is better at laying out things a little more graceful, whereas, like, the dogs of the world are, you know, and both cats and dogs have their beautiful, wonderful, unique features. But in this situation, the dog is just like, look, I can't tell the difference between real bacon and fake bacon. Let's just say it's fake bacon and I'm pissed about it.
Yeah, I don't know what the future is in a movement. And this is something that I think is endemic to online culture.
Yeah.
That at a certain point, the reason why moderation is important, and I don't mean moderation as in not doing things, I mean like in the online sense, that you are deleting messages or banning people.
Gotcha.
The reason why that's important is because there's always going to be somebody that is so lonely, they will ruin everybody's time.
Yeah.
That's just, it's the immutable law of the internet. Somebody will be lonelier than you. They will have more time than you, and they will ruin the vibes. That's that. And in politics, when you marry that to the winner take all, we're in a war, we got to fight, anybody who's not with us is against us, we are activating our hardcores, that's all that matters. There is no casual to capture anymore. There is no middle anymore. It is base turnout warfare. That's what Trump taught us. That's what Bernie taught us. We are all about churning out the true believers. When you marry those two things, you get, I think, bizarre takes. Anybody who is attacking Taylor Swift that isn't doing it tongue in cheek, take a look in the mirror. I'm just asking you. Take a look in the mirror and say, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? Aside from just, because here's the only thing that I would respect, even though I would think it proves that you are kind of a hack, is like engagement, bro. If I say Taylor Swift in a text, it gets 7x engagement than if I don't say Taylor Swift in a text or in a tweet. And so that's just the reality, is that Taylor Swift goes viral and you know, other stuff doesn't. And at that point, it just, you know, okay, well then race to whatever the trending topic is. It's going to be slime molds tomorrow.
No, I know what there is an element of like, oh, Taylor Swift, if I have to listen to any Taylor Swift buddy talking about Taylor Swift anymore, I'm going to hashtag Taylor Swift be mad about it.
Yes, exactly. Right?
Like, okay, I don't know how. Another aspect is like, as a musician, how much does that like rate or like her music? I mean, her music, Zach, it's, I think Michael Jackson is musically I don't know if that is.
It's the only comp. I think the only comp is Michael Jackson, because you could say Elvis, but Elvis didn't have the infrastructure that you know, the Beatles stopped touring and then broke up. So you would probably put the Beatles there if they had the longevity. But again, we're in a world without stars. You know, you mentioned Megan Thee Stallion and Nicki Minaj. If you're into hip hop, then maybe you know that they had stuff that was going back and forth over the week, but it's not on radio. It's not on MTV. Yeah. It's not on any place that a casual person would see, unless you fall into that element of Reddit or TikTok or some other online thing. It doesn't find you. Taylor Swift finds you. You know some version of it. Either you know a part of the song, you know somebody that's a really big fan, you know somebody that went to the tour. You know, the gym I go to has had multiple different Taylor Swift theme like playlist that they play, because that's a thing that attracts people. She is a unique monocultural force when we don't have it. And then you take that and you give us the closest thing we've had in American pop culture to Marilyn Monroe and Mickey Mantle of pop culture and sports being tied together. And the idea that Taylor Swift's entire artistic output is built on the idea of, am I in love? Should I be in love? Is he in love with me? Like, this is her wheelhouse. This is like if, you know, Snoop Doggy Dog was selling drugs to the president. Like it's just like the art marries the thing. If all of a sudden Snoop was like, yeah, I'm flipping ounces to Trump. Like, and it was true. If it was real, like if it was a real thing, that's it just fits together in this way that we've never really seen at this level at a time where we have nothing like it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And that's how I choose to see it. And I can be a sucker for a good story, like I think everybody. But when it's we're in this moment where I'm like, let this play out. This is interesting. This is like, let's watch this. This is like a front row seat to a something that really doesn't happen very often. And so I feel like the people who are having a problem with it, not only are they curmudgeons, they have like the 30 Rock line where it's like, that's not that much cheese. Yeah. Like, it's like, come on, man, that's a lot of cheese. Like, there's something really incredible happening here. Let it unfold. Let's enjoy, like, grab some popcorn, dude.
Well, that's, you know, look, the beginning of the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce thing happened while me and my brother were in Las Vegas for a Steelers game. And so we just spent the entire day betting on football. And I remember where I was. I remember the bar in Caesar's Palace where I was when I saw Taylor Swift's face in the box. And I was like, screaming expletives, because I'm like, if I would have known she was at that game, I would have bet on it. Like, this, there's no way that Travis Kelce is losing the first time that Taylor Swift is at a game. There's no way that's happening.
Man, that's I love that you're like betting on stuff like that.
Oh God, if I would have known, that would have been, it would have been a thing. I mean, look, there is an element of both of those people, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, courting this. They want this, you know.
For sure.
People pointed out that in the Kansas City versus Buffalo Bills game, the opposing quarterback, Josh Allen, is dating an actress, Haley Steinfeld, who is famous and requested she not be shown on the broadcast because she didn't want to be shown. Taylor Swift has made no such request. She understands. They are built for display. Both Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are. Taylor Swift manages the paparazzi shots when she walks out of her apartment. Her and her friends are glammed up so they look fantastic while it happens. She is anywhere between managing and aware of. She is playing the game as best she can play it. Travis Kelce is as well, which means in play are these insane things like, is he going to win the Super Bowl and propose? Like, are we going to get this like absolute explosion, this pop culture fantasy storybook explosion? And I would just say, if that's what happens, again, huge win for testosterone. Testosterone is having a moment. If that happens.
For sure. Yeah. And like tradition is, you know, there are so many fantastic, and this isn't MK Ultra. Like if this is like an operation, it's like, they've really figured out their storytelling here. Cause this is like better than any like romance movie that I've seen in a rom-com movie I've seen in years.
This is like like Daily Wire level scripting. If it is a narrative, like it could not just remove the or include the politics. Politics.
Definitely.
I was sad when I was a single lonely woman dating nothing but actors and musicians. And then I met a red-blooded American football player. And that's when my world fell together. The greatest professional success, the greatest personal success. I found peace cheering for my man playing football. Yeah. Like, what are you, I mean, like, conservatives, what do you want? What do you think, honestly? What do you want?
Yeah, it really doesn't. And that's what I'm saying. That's not enough cheese. It's like, dude, this is like Gruyere, man. This is imported. This is like really good cheese.
It's once in a 100 years cheese. Once in a 100 years cheese. This is your update brought to you by TakePoliticsSeriously.com. By the time you hear this, I am either on a jet plane to Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, the Silver State. We're going to get to the bottom as to why there is a massive cluster in the Silver State. Why there's a caucus and a primary, why Nikki Haley is competing in a contest for which no delegates will be awarded. Hachi machi, it's a mess. We're going to untangle it live on the ground this weekend. But the only reason why I can do that, the only reason why I cannot just be a keyboard warrior, I can actually expend some shoe leather and go knock on some doors and see if people want to talk to me, is because you guys pay for me to do it. TakePoliticsSeriously.com. If you're at the $3 level, you get 2 bonus episodes each and every week. And while I'm on the road, while I was in Iowa, while I was in New Hampshire, that meant a lot of audio that you wouldn't get otherwise. If Nikki Haley doesn't drop out before South Carolina, it's going to be the same thing. We'll be down there in the Palmetto State making it happen. And it's going to be because of you. I don't know if you guys have paid attention to this, but it is a bad time to be in the world of professional journalism. It's dying. We have had massive layoffs, a near entire reduction of the Sports Illustrated staff, massive reductions at Time Magazine, the LA Times. And as I record this right now, it's a grand opening, grand closing for The Messenger, an outlet for which I've admired because they hired Mark Caputo, who we've had on this show before, one of my favorite political reporters, one of the best going today, in my opinion. And they hired our friend Eric Geller, cybersecurity. He's another fantastic, very thorough professional journalist. What I'm trying to get at is that there are not a lot of good gigs in this business anymore. At least if you go the way that we've gone in the past. And while I have a tremendous amount of sympathy to my friends who are in very, very unstable times right now, I can't help but find myself extraordinarily grateful to you, the people who believe that what I do on this show is worth it, who believe that by contributing just a little bit out of their monthly budget, and I know it's tight for a lot of folks out there, that this is something that you enjoy. I'm very grateful. I'm very thankful. And just know that, especially while I'm watching the news over the last few weeks, holy moly, I feel it. Let's get to a few stories that we didn't have a chance to get to in this episode. A new Quinnipiac University poll reveals a growing gender gap amongst supporters of President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump, significantly impacting the polling for the 2024 presidential election. Biden leads Trump in the latest poll with a 50% to 44% margin. This marks a notable shift from the previous month's results, which showed the matchup is too close to call. The increase in Biden's lead is primarily due to a surge in female support, with 58% now backing Biden compared to 36% for Trump. Last month, these numbers were at 53% for Biden and 41% for Trump. Men's support, however, remains relatively stable. 53% favoring Trump, 42% favoring Biden, closely mirroring the figures from last month. Miles to go before we sleep, but obviously the focus for the Donald Trump campaign is not trying to win women, it's trying to stem the bleeding. Because there's an uphill climb for Donald Trump when it comes to women. In a heated, oh my good Lord, heated Senate hearing on Wednesday, CEOs from major tech companies like Meta, TikTok, Snap, and Discord faced intense scrutiny over the harm that their platforms can cause to these kids, teens and children specifically. Focus was mainly on Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg and TikTok CEO Zhouji Chu. The senators grilled the CEOs about policies mitigating risks like online sexual exploitation and the spread of harmful content. The hearing, filled with parent and survivor advocates, also put pressure on senators to regulate these companies more stringently. Zuckerberg, whose company owns Facebook and Instagram, bore the brunt of the criticism, particularly over internal research indicating Instagram's negative effect on teen girls. Despite Zuckerberg's defense, Senator Josh Hawley pressed for an apology for the parent advocates present. Zuckerberg, in, oh my God, I can only imagine. I don't know if he got drilled on this in terms of crisis management, but it wasn't a great look. He turns around awkwardly and gives a weird apology. Just not a good look. The answer for that, if Josh Hawley is right up on you, is to say, I would love to meet with everybody personally after, but I don't think it would be an appropriate moment to do it right here. I think they deserve more than that. Tell you what, Congress is just eating. I'll tell you what, Elise Stefanik got a win and it got everybody all goosed up. Elise Stefanik got two Ivy League presidents fired and now everybody was looking for the kill shot because Lindsey Graham is telling them that they got blood on their hands. Josh Hawley is making Zuckerberg stand up, turn around and do a half apology to people. Oy. Zuckerberg, of course, faces consistent questions on Meta's impact on mental health, but he stated that there is no causal link between social media use and worse mental health outcome in young people, a claim questioned by Senate Judiciary Chair Democrat Dick Durbin. The spotlight now turns to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to advance legislation aimed at reducing harm to young users online. The Judiciary Committee has previously advanced five bills, including the Stop CSAM Act, which allows victims of child sexual abuse material to sue tech companies. Schumer's office stated that children's online safety is a priority and efforts are ongoing to ensure necessary support for online safety bills. There's another one, the Keep Online Safe Act, I believe, but it's COSA, K-O-S-A. I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about that, but that's the latest effort. We're going to stay on Congress here because Kyrsten Sinema, she may or may not be running for Senate because her fundraising came out from last quarter and doesn't look like somebody who's working really, really hard to run. But she does care about the policy and the law. And she, as one of the three people negotiating the border part of the border / foreign aid bill, came out to vigorously defend it. She emphasized factual accuracy of what's in the bill and its importance in the history of our broken border. The deal, which has faced challenges, including lack of a final text and opposition encouraged by former President Trump, aims to address border issues with substantial resources, according to Sinema. The deal involves substantial investment in border personnel, planes for deportation, and asylum judges. Cinema specifically countered criticism from House Speaker Mike Johnson and others who claimed the plan would allow 5,000 migrants and asylum seekers to enter daily before implementing strict measures. She clarified that the bill would, quote, end catch and release. Key provisions include stricter asylum screenings within 90 days, different handlings of migrants based on their point of entry, and changes in the use of parole and notice to appear documents. The deal also contains emergency measures to automatically reject illegal crossings once they exceed a certain threshold. Despite its comprehensive approach and potential effectiveness, as noted by Republican Whip John Thune, the deal faces uncertainty due to all the headwinds. And so this is really where it's going to come down to. Number one, we got to see the text of the bill. Nothing's going to happen until we see the text of the bill. And I don't know what's holding it up, but you can only complain about Donald Trump stomping his feet behind the scenes so much before you release the text of the bill. Because as long as the text of the bill isn't released, then we're going to assume that Donald Trump has a point. And that some of the rumors that are about this are true. The rumor is we're going to get text next week. But the other side of it is you get the sense that this is another jam it situation. That we're going to get the text of the bill and within 24 hours there's going to be a vote. And within 24 hours they're going to put pressure on the House to vote. This is a big deal. And usually, unfortunately, when it comes to big deals, they don't normally get the same kind of deliberation process as folks want. Even if this might be a laundry list of reforms that conservatives have wanted at the border since Buchanan. But again, nothing's real until we see the text. Nothing's real. That is your update. TakePoliticsSeriously.com. $3 level gets you 2 bonus episodes each and every week. Thank you very much. Let's get back to Kevin.
So one of the things that's interesting in the Miss Americana documentary is there's the prevailing theme is her need to be accepted. That's where the movie opens. That's where those are the conclusive moments when there's a scene change is when she expresses a need to be liked and it's to be loved, to be accepted, to be seen, to be considered good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's public image. That's her public image.
Yeah.
That of course it's cultivated. Of course it's practiced. But I don't see any counter examples of her being against that. I don't see her like, everybody says she's fantastic to her fans. There are like no accounts of her being nasty to people who like her. And there are really no accounts of her being nasty at all. Only expressing speech freely, which I feel like that's also a conservative principle. Like she can,
and she's vote. And she's done. She's done the thing that a lot of conservatives yell, which is stick to what we like you for. We don't need to hear your every political opinion. She doesn't say her political opinion all that much. She endorsed Joe Biden. Guess what? 50% of the country endorsed Joe Biden. 50% of the voting country, more than that, endorsed Joe Biden. That wasn't an out on the limb pick of how things were going. Now, look, I will say, if I'm going to indulge a little bit of this.
Oh, yeah. This is indulgence.
When Kelsey got the Pfizer and the Bud Light sponsorship, like, and the Pfizer ad was like wackety schmackety like beer commercial. Like I didn't like the Pfizer ad being like wacky, wow, get a shot. Like, no, just you're a vaccine. Like, I don't need schmaltz.
Don't give it
on
legs
it.
And just, little fingers.
Here's a serious thing that you should do because we are vaccine. We believe can save lives. Do that. Soft focus. Travis Kelce, when I'm playing football, I know that I need to take every precaution, and that's why I got a vaccine. But like the wacky stuff, I don't know. I was not, that made me a little uneasy just in general.
Travis, did you know you can get this season's COVID-19 shot when you get your flu shot?
Two things at once.
Yeah, you know, like you said, he's a meathead, you know, it's like wackety schmackety, like the meathead really has to be primed for that, which, you know, I'm a bit of a meathead myself some days.
Yeah.
But yeah, I and what was the Bud? I didn't ever watch the Bud Light thing. He was like, Shane Gillis is a Bud Light spokesman now. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. That's really funny. Good.
I think he just wants... Yeah, exactly.
And oh my! But look, there's like three major beverage operators. Like, I don't care how mad conservatives wanted to pretend. At the end of the day, your uncle drinks Bud Light. He's drank Bud Light his entire life, and whether or not he tried out three beers while everybody was mad, he's gonna go back to drinking Bud Light because that's just what people like. They have a preference for that beer. That's that. Especially in a pre kind of like craft beer revolution where taste in beer became something that you should have. For boomers, there were three and you drank what your dad drank. And that was that. And for a lot of people, it was Bud Light. So whatever, get over it. It's fine. Everybody made a stink because they had some bad decisions. There's three beers. Yeah. They're going to drink them.
And you and I have, you know, we've had a couple beverages side by side over the years.
Indeed.
And what I always, my drinking is I like trash beer and lollipop whiskey as cold as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, most of the time it's trash beer, but anytime we've been anywhere and anytime I've been anywhere else, I say, you just give me a trash beer. 9 times out of 10, it's Bud Light.
Bud Light, yeah.
So it's like, and that's like, you know, that's an accomplishment.
It's fine. Look, the Bud Light, I don't know.
It's Bud Light, but I would drink.
We're out the other side on the Bud Light. Whatever, it's fine. It just is what it is. You know, the Super Bowl, if we're on Super Bowl talk.
Yes.
We watched the 2020 Super Bowl together at the Beachwood in Des Moines, Iowa, because it was right before the Iowa caucus.
That's right.
And we were very high and
we kept forgetting what we were talking about.
Yeah. Oh, dude. And it was one of those bars that makes popcorn for people. So they have like a constantly going popcorn thing. And this bar is like half full. I make no exaggeration when I say in my mind, both Kevin and I each ate a trash can's worth of popcorn.
Without a doubt.
It felt like we would each get a thing of like the little serving things that they had. We would demolish it and then we would go back. It was as fast as they were hiking the ball. We would eat the popcorn and go back for more popcorn.
And it was like a Lord of the Rings thing because we were that level. We were very high.
Yes.
And it was like, The popcorn machine was on the other side of the bar, so it was like, Justin, I'm going for more. You're like, be safe, brother.
Be safe. That Super Bowl was the Chiefs and the 49ers. That's happening in 2 weeks, the Chiefs and the 49ers. One could say that everything that happened after that night including the COVID-19 pandemic, the lockdown, a lot of crazy stuff happened. Is this symbolically, narratively, the closing of that book? 4 years later, we had Biden in over Trump. Now Trump's back. Is it just back to what it was from 2016 after this interlude? 2020 and 2024, it could be that. I mean, if you're looking for narratives.
Yeah, no, I love how your mind works. That's yeah, that's good. Interesting. What a stretch of time. What I'm
saying
is
we have to go back to Des Moines. We have to watch the game in Des Moines, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. Anyway, yeah. Either that, it's like we have to eat less popcorn.
Oh, no, yeah.
Like, we got to figure out what caused everything, because it definitely happened in that at that bar in Des Moines.
I was joking that this is kind of like in Marvel, they had like Infinity War where, you know, it ends and all of a sudden half of everybody's gone. Everything's screwed up. You come back at Endgame. Everyone's muddled along, but it's always been kind of weird. And then all of a sudden the big fight again. And now everything's back to the way that it used to be.
Man, that would be something else. Wait, it's funny because it is like this from last election to this election. It feels different than any other interval of that same time frame.
Yeah. I mean, partly because we're now in episode 3 of the Trump show, which was unlike anything politically that we've gone through, you know, up to and including the fact that we're even talking about Taylor Swift. Like the fact that Taylor Swift is a thing is entirely because of Trump. Cause it's not like singers endorsing the Democrat.
Trump and Kanye.
Not non-country singers. Like endorsing Democrats is weird. It happens all the time. It's happened throughout the entirety of what we consider our modern rock and roll pop culture ethos. But now it's a thing. Now it's a big deal. And it's entirely because of somebody that probably in a bygone era would have just not. She wouldn't have had an opinion on Obama versus Romney. She wouldn't have had an opinion on Hillary versus Jim.
Oh, yeah.
But because politics became so important to women post-Trump, she kind of has to, because her core audience is so dialed in.
And I think what we could look at is like the wider sociological movement that's happening, where it's like, I think she's committed to the same principle she's always been committed to, which is like, you know, try and be as neutral as possible. But neutrality has just like the thread is, I mean, we're about to rip the garment.
Yeah.
Like neutrality, it doesn't fully exist anymore. Like by dint of this conversation, where we're looking at what is essentially an apolitical situation event that was politicized.
Yeah.
And we're saying, okay, let's take apart what's, well, you know, neutral and look at what's political, and maybe it's like a politicization, you know? So it's like the infinity mirror is just bouncing back and forth like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we will keep an eye on it. Any further thoughts? Anything else that you got on your mind these days, Kevin?
Yeah. One more thing on the Taylor Swift thing, and this is very personal, but it's like, my wife had a dinner night with her work friends.
Yeah.
And it was like to go see the Taylor Swift movie.
The Eras Tour movie. Yeah.
Yes. And it was like, you know, it was, these are all like really hardworking professionals.
Yeah.
Who deal with trauma and mental illness as their job, helping people move forward in their lives. So it was like, especially an occasion for them to relax, but also it was like, hey, just get us something Swifty, like a sparkly outfit or something. And there was like something, as a husband looking at his wife, there was something so beautiful about it, because just her getting ready and just celebrating being a woman and just the like, that's kind of what sticks out to me with Swift, is like the beautiful personal connection that it can create, like just in our everyday lives. Other than that, I've been going to dirt races. Did I tell you about the dirt races?
I think you've actually sent me pictures of the dirt races real quick, but I do think that to put a coda on what you said, that's the magic of art, right? The magic of art is really connection, not only between you and the artist, but you and other fans. Because at the end of the day, you understand something that you are all resonating from that frequency, and that's important. That is tribal. That is magic. That is something that is rare, especially in a world that continues to drift further and further apart, not only physically, that we have less and less places that we all gather, but also ideologically, because we are now able to indulge very specific strains of what we like. So it's not just I like this kind of thing, I like this kind of thing that only involves these kind of people, and that's what I want to just fill my entire timeline with. The magic of Taylor Swift is that she can unite not only, I think, by demographically the vast majority are women, but what you said before with her Miss Americana documentary, the theme that she hangs everything on is insecurity.
Yeah.
And insecurity is something that we all feel. We all wonder whether or not we're good enough. We all wonder whether or not we are worth love, whether or not we are worth the station that we have gotten. It's kind of what makes Taylor Swift and Kanye West the two artists of their generation, because Kanye plays with a lot of those same ideas, but where Taylor has a more ruminative pathway to it, Kanye has a far more aggressive. It's like, I'm insecure, so screw you, I'm the best. And she's like, I'm insecure, I wonder whether or not I'll ever not be. And let's unpack that. So,
I have a crazy theory on top of that. If you want to,
let's go out on this.
So I think the real psyop is from God.
Yeah.
And he's looking down at America.
God is a psyop.
There's a God saying they are not procreating. Like the young kids aren't keeping up.
Birth rates are falling. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me make it as clear as possible to them that that's what they should be doing by smushing these two people in the most public platform in the world and saying, look, now kiss, all of you go.
I mean, the Taylor Swift pregnancy would be that's world news. That's world news.
Birth rates after that, dude. Oh. Fantastic. Man. The ideals are running wild in my head. That would be like a history book situation. Like, anyway.
Get on board, conservative media. Come on. What are you doing? What you're rooting for. This is what you're rooting for. You are rooting for a Taylor Swift pregnancy. Wow. This is an amazing moment that we end on that particular statement. Not another political podcast will touch this level of analysis because we have Kevin Ryan on the show. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Good to be here.
And that will wrap it up for us today. Politics, 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 written and hosted by me, Justin Robert Young, for Dog and Pony Show Audio in Austin, Texas. Our show is edited by the great Brett Stewart. If you'd like to thank Mr. Kevin Ryan, you can do so. Letter P, letter X, number3guest.com. Hey, by the way, you can follow, find, and share video clips of this show on the platform that you like to experience podcast video the most. On TikTok, I am Justin R. Young. Instagram is Justin R. Young. YouTube is youtube.com/@politicspoliticspolitics. And you can follow me on Twitch, px3live.com. And I'm live streaming on most of those platforms as well. You want to email me? You can do so. TheYoungAmerican@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter, px3 tweets for the show, Justin R. Young for me. And of course, you can share this podcast with your friends, family, and clergy. Clergy. I just combined family and clergy. Clergy. px3podcast.com. You want to support me? You can do so. PayPal.me/payjury on PayPal. Venmo is Justin-Young-20. Cash App is PX3Cash. And of course, you can send me anything you'd like in the mail. P.O. Box 153184, Austin, Texas, 78715. Of course, you can always get our bonus content at TakePoliticsSeriously.com. Our $3 tier gets you 2 bonus podcasts per week covering all the news I miss on our free podcasting schedule. And our $10 tier gets your name read at the end of the show like these fine folks in the Titanic. $10 tier. Sam, John, Niemeister, Edwin, and vote Gloria Young for King of the New World Order. Brian, Edison, Jeremy, a dog named Checkers, Sarah Genie, Spider Rogue, Matthew, Dr. G, Dustin, Brad, D Laser, Nick, Just Another Pilot, Middle Age Mike, Utah Jimmy Montana, The Gen, Alo, D Really, Andrew, Lisa, Fat Tony's PJs from New York, Devon, the CFP, Gloria, my mom, who's the first person who played for me the song. What was he? Yeah. Yvonne? What was it? Is it Devon? Levon. That's it. By Elton John. Levon. He wants to go to Venus. Or no. Jesus wants to go to visit. I don't know. Listen to Elton John. Anyway, Jared. Grayzone, Robert, Jay, Neil, Ye Old Pinball Shop, John, DP4 Bongo, Neil is Nerdiness Charles, Audrey, Stole Adler Spot, Darren, Idris Arslanian, Berkeley, Steven Nematic, Terran Molly's Delightful Demeanor, Adam, Chief Andy, Robert, Casey, Paul. Folks, if you want to join that illustrious unit, you can do so. TakePoliticsSeriously.com. We will take a break this week, and we will be back on Sunday for the $3 Club with our Sunday program. I think that'll be a traditional Sunday because I got no events in Nevada. Thought I was going to have events, didn't have events. We are going to try to get to the bottom of this cluster. And from what I've done with preliminary research, we got a good tale. And a few people have tried to explain this in the media, and I don't think anybody gets the full story because it involves one of my favorite things, an unfulfilled lifelong quest. One man worked his entire life to do something, got ever so close, and died before he could see it through. And that's why we have a primary and a caucus with Nikki Haley and Donald Trump in either one. I'll explain it all to you next week. I'm in Vegas this weekend. Till next time. Some shows talk about politics. Others talk about politics and still more discuss politics. But this, my friends, is the only show that discusses all three.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Dog and Pony Show Audio.